Hello, 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 Sanbonani. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another awesome episode of the Chica Travel Podcast. My name is Lelo B, and I am yet again super proud of what you are about to listen to this week on the podcast. In one of my previous newsletters, I spoke about how these COVID times are great for secluded holidays, and this week's episode is an amazing follow-up to that conversation. I am joined by Tanya and Anna. They are former flight attendants who have decided that they are now done with that hotel life and are now all about finding hidden gems in the quiet corners of South Africa and sharing them with the world. And oh, how beautifully they do that. So together they call themselves Cabin Seekers, and this is what they shared with me. I hope you will enjoy. Hello, Anna and Tanya. Welcome to the Chica Travel Podcast.
Hi, thanks so much for having us.
I am so happy. I don't know how I ended up on your page, but I'm so glad I did. It is amazing. Yo.
Thank you. Yeah, well, we're glad you found us too. And we're so glad we found your page.
You were a flight attendant traveling internationally. And that is actually part of what inspired you to start your Cabin Seekers page, as well as your travels. So do you mind just sharing a bit about that experience and how that came about, you starting Cabin Seekers?
So yeah, we both used to fly for a while. We won't mention names of airlines.
Okay.
So we flew for a lot, and as much as it's an amazing, amazing job, it comes with, you know, its own faults. It's very tiring. You get a lot of jet lag, obviously traveling different time zones, short layovers in different countries, and then coming back, only having like 1 or 2 days off, and then, and obviously dealing with lots of people all the time. Whenever we had like a chance or a break, we would want to go somewhere that was completely away from other human beings, not because we hate humans or anything. It was just that, like, we needed it. And that's how basically it started, was just trying to find really beautiful recharge, you know?
I'm actually glad you mentioned the part about it's not that you hate people, because at one point I was like, do they actually like people or do they not like people? Just reading.
No, not when you fly, you obviously deal with like a lot of people, and you deal with a lot of interesting. So no, it's not that we don't like people. We both love people. I'm a chatterbox. Like, I love chatting to people and meeting new people all the time. It's just like flying. You needed to just reboot yourself basically, and just get, because you were surrounded by people constantly, you know, and being in customer service. Yeah, it was just a way for us to escape.
And I saw that your page only started in June 2020. But when did you actually start, you know, your seeking of cabins?
Do you want to do that? So we were thinking about, actually, and we were, it started before, like, so yeah, we only started June 2020. But the idea actually fruition during our stay at Copia Eco Cabins, which is first cabins we ever stayed in, and it's the first picture we ever posted on our page. The idea just came. We were just lying in that amazing hot tub. If no one has ever been there, you can, anyone's bucket list of somewhere to go. Anyway, so we were sitting in the hot tub, and you know, we went to 2 cabins before that, but that one was just like one of our best. We were constantly getting, like, we were posting it on our own profiles, obviously, on our own personal page, constantly getting inbox messages from lots of friends and other followers who were asking, you guys find all these amazing places to stay, like, tell us more about the place. Realized there was obviously a need for, people really wanted to know more about, like, a page where they could go to reference, like, cool places that we go to. In the hot tub having some wine, you know, and just the idea just hits, and we just start a page where we go and we feature different cabins.
I think it's a brilliant, brilliant idea. I had never seen anybody do that. So I think it's something super unique. And trust me, people are going to love, love, love what you guys do with that page. If I may ask then, what to you makes the perfect cabin?
Okay, the number one thing that we always look for is privacy. That's the most important thing. Somewhere that's quiet and isolated, that's not really close to anyone else. Mm. And the second most important thing are the interior.
Obviously, I mean, there's a lot of cabins, especially around the Gauteng region. There's a lot of really nice cabins in Magaliesburg, but it's always such a letdown because you'll see like a really beautiful picture of a cool cabin. But then when you start scrolling and you see those ugly interiors, like, I mean, I don't mean to be like, you know, try to act like we fancy, but sure, some people just don't realize the potential they have with these amazing cabins, and then they just put like, I don't know where they find this furniture, like from the 70s or something, and it's just like there's no thought or love put into it. It's just like they've just thrown in whatever convenient furniture they could find in there, and like the ugliest curtains, and you know, like you don't want to stay in a space that just doesn't feel like there's any thought put into it. So yeah, we've been disappointed a few times where we found like such cool cabins that look cool from the outside, and then on the inside they're just like a bit of a letdown, you know.
That is so, so true. I mean, because even if, like, you know, the outside is not so great, but if they put, you know, that much thought into the interior and just making it comfortable and cute. And comfortable and cute does not mean expensive furniture, right? Because some of the cabins that you guys stay at, it's not like it's super expensive stuff, but it's really, really just nice pieces. And they've taken the effort to, you know, to kind of style the places just so they look cool for us, I guess.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. It can totally go the other way around, like you just said. Like it could look really bad on the outside, but like as long as there's some thought put into the interior on the inside, just to make it feel comfortable. Like, I mean, I'm sure most of your listeners, you've got a certain, it's not even about a standard. It's like you don't want to go stay somewhere where it's not as pretty or not prettier than where you currently stay. You know what I mean? You don't want to go somewhere like, I mean, there's nothing wrong with camping or roughing it a bit, but if you're going to go stay somewhere and no thought and love is put in, and it's exactly that, it doesn't have to be expensive. A lot of the places we stay to are really, really affordable.
You are so right. I always say that I don't want to sleep in a place that's not nicer than my place. It must be nicer than my place. Otherwise, I'm home.
Exactly. Might as well just stay at home. Like, what's the point of paying to go somewhere that's like so, so ugly on the inside and no thought given? Yeah.
Yeah. So I think a surprise that I've discovered, you know, now that I've been checking out the kind of places that you guys stay at, they're actually not expensive. You know how we always talk about, you know, travel and accommodation in South Africa is expensive? I'm finding that these kind of places are actually a bit more affordable than your usual hotels and stuff. I'm sure that's helpful with your planning as well and budgeting.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, I mean, it really helps a lot, and we obviously try to. There will be one or two places that we will go stay at that will maybe be at a higher price point, but obviously we want to make a page where we have cabins that are accessible to most people. And people always ask, like, how do you sustain a travel lifestyle or like travel so much? But you know, it's about prioritizing what's really important, Yeah, for us, we kind of try to base our life on like a very minimal lifestyle. So we don't have a lot of material things. We'd much rather collect memories than things, you know. So, so it's definitely a lot cheaper than hotels. And we're very, obviously, we've stayed in a lot of hotels, and we were lucky enough to stay in really nice hotels during our flight attendant days. Mm. But yeah, I mean, hotels are not as accessible for everyone. They are really pricey, and also they just don't have that, I don't know, there's something that lacks for maybe because we've stayed in so many hotels and we've seen the behind the scenes of like how hotels operate. Yeah. But they kind of lack some warmth, whereas these kind of like really cool self-catering places have more of like a personal, homey, comfortable feel.
Absolutely. I don't know if this is unfair to ask you, to ask what your favorite has been so far of all the places that you guys have stayed at. But I guess another way to ask the question is, what would be your top five that you think every cabin lover should definitely explore?
Okay, so we thought about this question and we already mentioned the first one, which is Copia Eco Cabins. Mm-hmm. And then I would have to say Eco Karoo Lodge in the Karoo. Mm-hmm. And then, which was
Oh my God. Empire? That place is beautiful. That Eco, but you're going to talk about it in a bit, right? Okay, so I'm going to keep quiet. Let me do your list.
In third place, we have the Zen Kaya at Rosemary Hill, and then the Kombuis. It's a working Wagyu beef farm just outside of Oudtshoorng, also very nice. And then in last place.
Well, it's not really in any particular order, I would say. They're like very close. Like
we can't
close.
Really,
And then the last, it's not one that we've been to yet, but we were hoping to go there, but like we can just tell from, like, you know, I don't think it's one of those cases where the photos don't do it justice, so on our, like, we can't wait to go check it out. Is a place in the Cape called Fazenda in the Swellendam region.
Swellendam looks like it's got really nice places overall.
It really has. And it just came out of nowhere because my dad used to stay in that area and there used to be nothing, just farms. And the last couple of years, it has really just developed and so many cabins and accommodation has popped up there, hiking trails and horse riding, so many things to do. And it's so beautiful. So we definitely can't wait to go there.
When you guys travel, do you at all want to do any activities, or it's really just about, you know, being isolated and, you know, chilling, doing your own cooking and just resting?
That's a really good question, because we were actually discussing this the other day that, like, when we first started this journey, it was when we were sort of like already, we were still flying then. So we were always like really jet lagged and tired and fatigued. And we would just go to cabins to recharge. So then we would like literally want to do nothing. So it would be as like the more isolated and the less there was to do, the better. Because I've kind of got like FOMO. So if I go somewhere, like, I can't really sit still if there's a lot to do, because I want to like go see this, go see that. So but now that we don't fly, unfortunately, thanks COVID, so it's a whole different ball game, because now we are rested, we are recharged, we don't deal with people on the daily. So when we go to places now, a little bit of activity is not a bad thing. So but still kind of more, as long as it's in nature, you know, if it's a nice hike or a mountain bike trail, or like the Segway tour at Rosemary Hill was a lot of fun. I think I saw you did that as well.
Yes, it was lovely.
Yeah, so like if there's like little activities like that, but yeah, we try to not, you know, go crazy. It all depends on each trip and how we feel and what there is. But yeah, we tend to sort of try to keep a balance of chill and enjoy the space, because I mean, you paid for the space after all. You don't want to be out and about busy exploring when it's about experiencing the space that you're in.
Yeah. So another question that I have to ask this. So because you guys always travel together, so solo travel is never a thing for you guys then?
I did do it once when I was still flying. I went on a surf camp in Bali for New Year's. This was about 3 years ago. And I did everything by myself and met a bunch of people there. But I guess it's a certain kind of person who prefers solo traveling. Yeah. I did my trip and I won't do it again. I'm very happy to have Anna with me all the time.
It's not for everyone. Absolutely not for everyone. I kind of feel like one of those things that you have to try once and know whether it's for you or not. So you've tried it. You're like, no, I'm good.
Yeah, totally. And I think with also with the flying, like, I mean, we did, as much as you had other crew on your flights, a lot of the times everyone kind of just did their own things, or, you know, people didn't want to go out or they wanted to rest. So you ended up like traveling a lot overseas, even though it was short bursts at a time. You would, you know, you'd go overseas for a layover and you'd spend a few, like a day or two exploring that city on your own. So I guess that, like, a little bit of solo traveling with that regards, but we're definitely not a fan of like group traveling and like tours. Like, don't give us like a planned tour excursion with, you know, like tourist trap kind of vibe. No.
Yeah, no, I totally feel you. And I think same, you know, group travel is the same as solo travel. It's one of those things that are not everyone. So give me a couple of places that you guys visit then, where sometimes there's no connectivity, completely isolated. What are your must pack items for your trips?
We always pack some board games. And then before we leave, we usually download a couple of episodes of series on our iPad to watch. But yeah, that's about it. Not really much.
And then yeah, like I think board games are like a winner for us. We love playing board games. Mm-hmm. So like Scrabble, 30 seconds really, but
Rummy
like
Cup.
Rummy Cub, and chess. We've got chess. And yeah, we got like, we take like a whole bunch of board games with. Obviously, I'm trying, this is my New Year's resolution, I'm going to try to read more. So definitely a good book. Mm-hmm. We'll have to start doing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, otherwise, we're both really kind of, that's the beauty of nature, is that, you know, it doesn't really expect much of you. You can just go there and chill and just be.
And then food wise, do you buy things when you get there, or do you take stuff with you? Anything that you don't leave home without?
Okay, yeah. Like I think ours would definitely be a coffee, like proper, you know, filter coffee, because I don't want to do instant coffee. I mean, each to their own, but I'm not a fan of filter, or I mean instant coffee. So for us, it would definitely be, we always take our plunger with our filter coffee with. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and that's pretty much it. It depends on where we're going. Sometimes if like, yo, when we went to Eco Karoo Lodge, that place, if you ever go there, you need to be like mega prepared, because there's nothing for at least half an hour. Yeah, so and what the one shop that is within like half an hour away is like really small, and you can only get your basics, so you have to go there prepared, so you have to buy everything beforehand. So what we often do is we create like a cool little menu for our trip. So we'll be like, okay, on this day we're gonna have this for breakfast, this for lunch, this for supper, and then we create like a cool menu, and then we just know then we don't buy too much or too little.
That is actually so cool. Who comes up with crazy ideas for all these? Okay, this is how we're going to do this. And who does the photography? Do you both do it? And how does that work? Because it's an important part of your page.
Well, we usually the Instagram page of the place we're going to. So we kind of have an idea of what kind of photos we want to take. It's always a good idea to make a list of the shots that you want. So when you get there, or when it's golden hour, you can quickly do those shots and then carry on with whatever you were busy doing, chilling or whatever. But yeah, definitely. I think Anna takes the photos most of the time, because she always wants me to be in them. I don't know why.
Yeah, no, but like I think it also comes down to, we've just been like procrastinating with getting a proper tripod. Mm-hmm. So like one of us, we've tried the balancing act, like you should see how creative we've gotten, like we should actually do a behind the scenes of how we've created like makeshift tripod, like three different pieces of furniture and a mug, you know, like random stuff like that, just to get the shot. But yeah, we should just invest in a tripod, like period. Like I don't know why we haven't yet, but yeah, definitely. I think it's a mix of both. Tanya sometimes comes up with like really good ideas and I'm like, oh, that's a good one. Sometimes I'll be like, just stand there. Yeah, but The fact that you're saying that, Lelo, honestly, your photos are on fire, just saying.
Thank you so much. And you know, I mean, Tanya just mentioned golden hour. I never even think about talking, you know, this is when, or plan in advance. Well, except if I want to steal your pose, like I stole your poses for Rosemary. I never plan in advance to say, this is where I'm going to shoot. And I just go. But actually, it's such a good idea. So finally, guys, we are talking about Eco Karoo Lodge. The Karoo, generally not top of mind, you know, as a well, at least to the people that I speak to or that I know, not top of mind as a travel destination. Tell us a bit about how you guys, I know it was someone's birthday. I don't know if it's Anya or Tanya's birthday. Yes, you went there like a 10-day trip, just exploring the area. Please, what did you know about this place before you went there?
Okay, so first of all, I wanted to plan a trip to somewhere I have never been since we couldn't do international travel because we were going to go to Greece. But anyway, that didn't work. Mm-hmm. And then I just took a map and I looked at our country and I thought, what is the most underrated place that I haven't been to? And then I started seeing all these small little towns that I've maybe heard of once or twice in my life randomly. Places like Hope Town, New Batista, Mikey's Fontaine. Like, I don't know if you've even heard of these places. But yeah, so I started to put a itinerary road trip together. I wish we could have done 2 weeks because 1 week was way too short, but the whole trip was planned with Eco Karoo Lodge being the main place to go. And definitely it delivered, and it just gave us so much, like more than we could have asked for. But saying that, the nothingness, the absolute silence and the stars in the sky at night, and you just hear like the insects and the crickets, and it's so peaceful and beautiful. There's not really words to describe it. But we were also lucky enough to be the only people there because there's three different kind of rooms, houses that you can stay at. And we were the only ones there. So I would recommend either going at a time where no one would really go, like in midweek, or just booking all three of them and go with your friends, you know, so that there's no other people there. Yeah, but really, really stunning. I can't even put it in words. But the other place that really shocked us, and I didn't even know about this place, she was like, oh, we can just, because we were in Grofrenet at that point, and she's like, no, we don't have to do a day trip to New Batista. Like, she didn't know anything about it. And I'm like, let's just go check it out, because it's known for a town where there's lots of art galleries and very, like, basically like poets and artists and that kind of town. So we went there and was so wonderful, pleasantly surprised. It's basically like a one horse town.
Literally, there was like a horse just riding through the town on
just
its own.
A random one horse walking through the town on the road. Like, it was so funny. But sure, you can...
Yeah, it was so pleasantly unexpected, that town. Like, it was dirt roads. There's no tarred roads in this town, but there's honestly, we just regret not having actually stayed a night or two in New Batista. I don't know if it's Batista or Bethesda. Like, some people say New Bethesda, some people say New Batista. I'm not really sure the pronunciation. Like I said, I've never heard of it since.
Sure.
But it's honestly, if you're in that area, you know, one of our followers actually asked us the other day saying that they're going to be in that area, where should they go? And we would always recommend that. And there's like really cool places to go stay there. These amazing little artist sort of cottages that you can rent on Airbnb. So if you are going there, check out Airbnb, because a lot of the stuff is, you won't find it on Instagram, you know, it's very underground.
I think I wanna definitely do the Karoo. It sounds amazing. So getting there, let's talk about getting to Eco Karoo Lodge. Was that your first stop when you drove from Joburg to there, or?
Okay, so no, we don't like driving
No.
too far.
Why do they think you guys like driving?
So what we did, we ended up renting, we flew to Kimberley.
Okay.
We spent the night in Kimberley, and then from there we hired a car, and then we drove, because to drive from Pretoria to get to anything Karooo is going to take you at least like 6 hours, before you start hitting anything quite interesting, I think. So we were like, nah, we're just going to skip that step and we're just going to fly straight to and then we hired a car, and we basically just road trip all the way down, stopped in a few places until we ended up in returning the car and flying back from George. But initially, when we planned the trip, we were if we had more time, we would have loved to have gone all the way down to Cape Town, and then fly back via Cape Town, just because honestly, I don't know why, but flights are so much cheaper out of Cape Town than George. Like, George is crazy expensive. I don't know why.
True. Yo,
But you are asking how did we get to Eco Karoo Lodge, and after our first night in Kimberley, we drove the next day to Hope Town, and then we stayed. It was on a like a farmhouse. It was also on Airbnb. What was it called again?
Vida Gasteplaas.
Something very Afrikaans
Yeah.
place. So we stayed over there until the next day, when we drove to Lakhof. It's the small town of Lakhof, and I've never heard of this place either. And then when you reach Lakhof, you go basically on a dirt road for half an hour, and then you reach Eco Karoo Lodge. There's nothing. It's so nice.
Is there connectivity there? So no connectivity. Do you have network? Nah, I love my connectivity,
At the main, what can I call it? Where the swimming pool is, and there's a lounge and
Yeah.
a dining table, the communal area basically. They have a Wi-Fi reception there. So that's where we used to go to do our post, and then we would walk back to our room.
Oh, okay. Well, at least as long as there's somewhere where you can go should you really need it, because I don't know if I can be cut off completely. Yo.
No, don't worry. Like, there's at least your, and it was really like stable. I was quite surprised, because I'm like, damn, we're like literally in the middle of nowhere. Like, and the Wi-Fi was brilliant. So yeah, I mean, you can, it's stable enough to even to work from the main lodge area if you need to. Yeah, it's all good.
Okay, awesome. So what type of traveler would enjoy visiting the Karoo?
Definitely not somebody who is a busybody and who likes cities and who likes things and who, I mean, yeah, you've got to be one of those people who are okay with nothingness, because I think that's the charm of the Karoo, is like the drive. I've never been to a place where, I mean, because we planned our road trip so that we wouldn't drive more than, I'd say, 2.5, 3 hours, like, was the max, like the limit, because I really don't like driving for long. But there was something really like so amazing. Like, you would drive, and usually when you drive places, like, you'll see like a farmhouse, you'll see people, you'll see like something, but you can drive for like kilometers on end and not see, besides for the cars that you're passing, obviously, on the road, which isn't also that many, but around you, like, you won't see a farmhouse, you won't see a little shop, you won't see people walking, like, nothing for miles. It's crazy. So definitely not someone who, yeah, who can't, who needs to be busy all the time. Like, yeah, that's definitely not going to cut it. You need to be someone who enjoys putting on like the best playlist of your life and just driving and road tripping.
And you better make sure that you filled up your tank before you go
No jokes, hey, like, for real.
So I don't know if is there any other place besides Eco Karoo Lodge that you would think is really cool around that area? But well, Eco Karoo Lodge, I think your trip was, set around that as the main destination.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I don't know, I can't remember now because we drove a lot and we did stop at a lot of places, but how far was the Kum Base from there? It was like, anyway, I can't remember, but if you do go towards sort of Oudtshoorn side, I can't remember the exact distance.
Well, it's close to George, basically.
Yeah, so I guess, yeah, it would be easier to just fly to George and then drive in that way, but... the Kum Base estate was really, really a beautiful place. The owners of the property are really wonderful hosts, and yeah, it's quite a special place to go to as well. And also we didn't really put it on, we put it in our stories on Instagram and our highlights, but we didn't really make a post about it because it's not really a cabin, but in Graaf-Reinet, the Drosty Hotel is honestly such a gem. Like, it's literally called the gem of the Karoo. Really, really an amazing little hotel that they've just recently refurbished. So I definitely recommend people go check that out. But like we said, there was still so much that we wanted to sort of touch base with. I know Prince Albert is an amazing place we still wanted to go check out. So yeah, next time, hopefully we'll cover a lot more.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I was thinking about the places that you guys have been to or that you travel to. And I'm thinking about how perfect they are for this point in time where we are worried about COVID and we are worried about, you know, interacting with a lot of people. So these are the destinations. Like, if you have to travel and you want to travel now, and you're looking for where you don't interact with a lot of people, then these self-catering places that are isolated are actually best.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, I mean, when we were at Eco Karoo Lodge, literally the only other person you really see there, and he hasn't left, like, I felt so sorry for him, actually. He'd been, like, stuck, or he works there, so he's just there all the time. Like, the guy, the host, basically, who hosts you and checks you in and everything. He's the only human being you will see and interact with at Eco Karoo Lodge the entire time. So, I mean, if you drive from here, for instance, if you're really someone who loves driving and you just go straight to Eco Karoo Lodge, you will literally you would be so safe because he hasn't left. I think from what I understand, like, people bring him supplies and stuff, and that's about it.
You mentioned something in your earlier comment about, I don't know, I think you're talking about Dikkom Base when you said that the hosts were really super amazing. And I'm finding that with these, I mean, thinking of Rosemary and thinking of Nehemia, and you are talking about, you know, Dikkom Base as well, and why are they such nice people? And you know, they make you feel like you are the most important person ever. And even the people that, you know, that have been to Rosemary after me, they also come back saying now they were so well taken care of, da 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 da. I don't know, is there something about the hosts or the owners of these type of properties that just says, welcome, you are welcome? Are you finding that is your experience as well?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's, and that's why we were also like, why we prefer these kind of places to hotels. There's amazing hotels with amazing hospitality, but it, you know, I think a lot of places lose that personal touch. Whereas these places, it's this person's life. It's this, like, you know, it's their living. It's how they make a living. It's their passion project. So they started it. Obviously, they started it because they enjoyed hosting people. So you can definitely sense it and you can feel it. And I think now more than ever, it's so important to support, like, the local places. And that's also why we started our page. Was, you know, we know that, like, places like this have taken a massive knock with COVID and the travel restrictions and that hectic lockdown we were in. So we just want to go try to inspire, if we can just inspire one or two people to just go and travel more of these small local places and support them, just to help these places, because like you say, they're so happy to host you and they're so happy to have you there.
Absolutely. And I think you guys are really doing amazing, amazing work. I mean, you've inspired me definitely to go check out a lot of the places that you are featuring on your page. I know I want to go to Digon Base, I want to go to Eco Karoo Lodge, and I'm gonna check others as well that you posted that I definitely will go to, because I think I mean, we have some responsibility also to support, you know, the tourism industry, and because we don't want to, we want to go to places where we feel safe, where we're not interacting with a whole bunch of people. So thank you, ladies. I really admire your work. I love what you do.
Love hearing that. Thank you.
So one last question then. I don't know, isn't anything that you wanted to mention about the Karoo that you didn't write before I move on to my last question?
No. I think our only regret was not staying over in New Batista and it just being a day trip. I would much rather stay there for one night.
Okay, so when I go back, I must go stay there to make up for you guys missing it. I will do that for you. Okay, so now... I mean, there's this new strain of COVID that everybody's talking about and we don't really know much about it. What is your take on international travel? Because you also have cabins overseas that you, I'm sure, have put on your bucket list. What's your take on traveling internationally at this point in time?
That's a good question and also a really tough one, because you know, what it comes down to is zero FOMO. Like, we have no FOMO because you can't go anywhere now and you don't want to go anywhere now. You need to be a responsible traveler. So as much as, I mean, I've got a European passport, so if I wanted to go overseas, it would be pretty okay and easy for me, I think, to leave. But I don't want to do that because I try to be, like, responsible. You don't know if you could be asymptomatic. And also when we've got so many beautiful places in this country, there's no need to really go overseas. So to be honest, we don't really have much FOMO. And especially, I think the Karoo trip really changed our perspective on traveling locally, because we came back from that trip and we were just like blown away at how magical South Africa actually is, and how different it is. I mean, you go to Mpumalanga and it's the most lush green environment, then you drive through the Karoo and there's just nothingness and openness, and there's really no need to go overseas. I don't think we're going to be allowed to travel overseas anytime soon anyway, so there's no need for FOMO, there's no need to stress about missing out, because just as much as we're in lockdown here, everywhere else, like, I've got friends who are overseas, family who's overseas, and they're all just in hard lockdown, even harder than South Africa right now. So there's not even like a chance to go overseas and enjoy yourself, because you're just going to fly, waste your money flying overseas, getting there, and then you're going to be stuck in the lockdown anyway.
That is so true. Sure. Well, thank you so, so much. Hopefully once this whole thing is over, I will get to meet you guys one day or travel somewhere.
Yes, that sounds like a plan. Maybe a joint trip somewhere.
You know, I promise not to bring my whole crew. I will just bring one more person. So
we just don't want organized group tours with, like, you know, those tourist people that have like the camera and like the little sort of like shorts and the socks up there, you know, with the flag. Like, follow us.
Awesome. No. Thank you so, so much, ladies. I really, really enjoyed this conversation. And yeah, keep sharing. We are loving the content.
Thanks, Zillow. Thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it. And we love your work as well.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. We will catch up again next week. But in the meantime, if you listen on Apple, please leave a review and comment. It helps other people find the podcast as well if you do that. So I appreciate that very much. And also, you can find us on social media @ChicaTravelPod, #ChicaTravelPod. Until next week, goodbye.